When the guys asked me what my perfect night would be, I told them the truth. Beer and board games. They thought I was kidding. I was not kidding.
And gentlemen, you know what that sound means. It means you stumbled upon the wildest cast in the wilderness.
Welcome to the Personal Arrogance Podcast. Thank you, Prospector Joe, for giving us that intro. Prospector Joe.
Ladies and gentlemen, Prospect Joe.
Prospect Joe. Way to go, Prospect. Prospect Joe's squatting in my apartment until I move out. So
he's the close relative.
He is. He just decided to move right in.
He moved in early. But it's nice having him around.
Yeah, he just lives on top of the refrigerator. You've stumbled across the Personal Arrogance Podcast. I am one of your hosts. My name is Eric Wahlquist, and I'm getting kicked out of my apartment for those who don't know what the context of that is, because my landlord's child is moving in, and apparently they can kick me out at
that
any time.
That should be illegal.
Who's to say?
I am to say that I think that that should be, that's old timey. That's like something from medieval Europe that would cause William Wallace to revolt.
Mm-hmm. Or from the Prospector days.
Exactly. They manifest destiny in your apartment.
They totally manifest destiny in my apartment. I mean, this is America though, Jesse. The people don't make the rules.
That's true. And okay. Also, don't use those blankets that mysteriously showed up.
God, that's awful. Who are you, by the way?
I'm Jesse, old guy P.I. Wilson.
Way to go. Jesse, how was your week?
Doesn't matter.
Okay.
Because I got tomorrow off and I'm going camping till Sunday and I couldn't be more excited.
Excellent. Where are you going camping at?
Penrose Point, Mason County. It's the Wilson family camp out.
Oh, yeah, totally.
So it's actually the first time I've been able to do the camp out in a couple years. I'm so excited.
Are you going to bring any games?
I'm definitely going to bring Agricola. I'm going to bring Settlers.
Mm-hmm.
And for when all the kiddies go to sleep, I'm going to bring Cards Against Humanity.
Excellente.
So it's going to be a lot of fun.
Cool. Yeah. I got to play a little bit of Magic last night. I was very excited about
that. That's right. How'd you do?
I got second place. In the group.
Out of
six.
Oh, not bad.
Not bad. I made it to the championship game, and then I lost 2-1.
Oh, nice. So you went down swinging.
I did, and I used your strategy. In my 40-card deck, I had 5 flyers and an enchantment that it granted flying to one of my creatures.
Mm-hmm. Invasion, baby.
And all my flyers were cost 3 or less.
Nice. So, yeah. So get them out fast.
Get them out fast. Yeah, and then I had like direct damage for the end game. I had like 4 direct damage, 5 direct damage. It was good news.
What were you? Were you red, blue?
I was red, black, white. So we're playing with we drafted from the entire Return to Ravnica block. So
right.
I was playing Orzhov, Boros, Rakdos, which is a pretty good combo.
Pretty good combo.
Pretty good combo.
So, well, congratulations.
Thank you. We are segue mind melded right now.
That's true. I did want to. I want to go from old timey camping out to new timey mm-hmm. Magic the Gathering back to old timey.
Excellent.
Because I did something today that I've never done before, and it's an old timey thing.
Mm-hmm. Did you use a washboard?
Clothes.
For music or washing clothes, both old timey.
That's true. Very versatile.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like. At a certain point in history, washboard manufacturers must have been like, we're on top of the world and we're not going anywhere. They need us to wash their clothes and they need us for all the popular music.
Yeah. Washboards were like the original iPhones.
Yeah, I know. But then it fell off. Right. Totally fell off the face of the earth.
Yeah.
But other old-timey thing I did mm-hmm. is I was given a old cast iron skillet.
Uh-huh.
And it was given to me because it was kind of like rusty and old. So I've spent about an hour today trying to revitalize it and bring it back to life. It's actually been a pretty rewarding little project.
You got it?
So far, so good. It's in the oven baking right now.
And oh.
With oil, and I put salt and pepper in there just to kind of, you know, season it. So I'm pretty stoked to take that camping with me tomorrow. Cool.
Yeah, that'll be. Do you still have that cast iron one that we took on Jordy's bachelor party?
I don't know what happened to that. Oh. It's somewhere in storage, I think.
It came back
probably
down the mountain, though,
rusting.
Right? Yeah. You have a new project waiting for you.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Well, speaking of more congratulations, who are we congratulating by dedicating this podcast to them who?
Well, to whom them this is for, uh-huh. To whom?
Yes.
Is San Francisco 49ers star receiver Michael Crabtree.
Jesse, why are you putting 49ers on this podcast?
I know. I'm sure that the listeners are baffled right now.
Mm-hmm.
But Michael Crabtree, he needs all the kudos and pats on the back he could get, because today, in the first day of optional training,
yep,
he tore his Achilles tendon and will be out the entire season.
That's terrible news for them.
Yes. So this one's to you, Crabtree, and all the 49ers fans out there.
Crabtree, thank you for helping out the Seahawks this year.
Yes. I think we got a double agent, actually.
Yeah. I'm very excited. So we get Percy Harvin and they lose Michael Crabtree. I think that's mm-hmm. a plus.
Free agents, good. Double agents, better.
Excellent. Oh, man. Oh, I can't wait for football season.
Me too. Except it means it's going to get cold.
Yeah, I know. It was cold today. It was like 45 degrees today.
It was cold. There was a gnarly wind blew off the ocean.
A mighty wind.
Old-timey enough yet?
Did you hear about the bridge that collapsed?
Mm-hmm.
It just mm-hmm. happened. A bridge that is on I-5 collapsed. So,
oh
like, I-5 is not I-5 anymore. You can't drive from Seattle to Vancouver on I-5.
Weird.
Because the bridge collapsed up in Snohomish County.
Oh, my God.
Skagit
County.
That's
a bridge. I mean, when I lived in Bellingham, I've driven over that bridge like 1,000 times.
Yeah.
Literally.
It's great.
Well,
it just fell down.
Huh. Weird. Was anyone hurt?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. There's some people in the water, but they didn't know if anybody was hurt yet. So, this is breaking news, okay? If this was a live broadcast, we would be breaking this news to people right now.
Interesting. Well, all the best to our peeps at Snoho.
Totally. And it's like, and straight up, like, it just dissected I-5.
That's
which
bizarre.
Which is crazy. Like, that's like the major, now you can't drive from Vancouver to San Diego on I-5.
Yeah. Well, you couldn't anyway, because it stops being I-5 when you hit Canada.
Oh, the one. The Canadian one.
Mm-hmm.
All right, enough local road talk. Jesse, what is your what are you drinking tonight?
I'm drinking some free beer from work. I'm also enjoying this flask of whiskey mm-hmm. that I took the other week when I went to the Tasha's family reunion.
Oh, cool.
I stowed that one away, and I'm still enjoying the fruits of my
If you have some
there.
Left, you can steal it from her family reunion and then
take
drink it,
to it
at yours.
It's the family package.
There
what
you
are
go.
You drinking?
I'm drinking a beer I haven't tried before. It's a Deschutes River Ale.
Oh, dude, I had that on draft. It's good.
Pretty good stuff, man. It's
I
like,
enjoy it.
It's very similar. I think it's very similar to the new Red Hook Audible Ale that just came out. It's
really?
Like,
do we have a war going on?
I don't know. It's just got it's got a great balance of hoppiness and just like light body.
Mm-hmm.
It's exactly what you want if you're floating down a river.
Yeah, I felt like it was kind of like fruity, yeasty,
oh, yeah.
kind of estery
mm-hmm.
coming through.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totes. Pretty good stuff. Deschutes River Ale. Okay, let's get to some listener feedback this week. We're gonna bookend an email with two phone calls. So. First off, we got a brand new caller giving us a ring from the Midwest. Here it is.
Hey, Eric and Jesse. This is Travis from Des Moines, Iowa, first-time caller. Been listening to the podcast for about 6 months. Great job, guys, I have to say. I had one question, though, in regards to the voicemails. I have a podcast as well, and I'm wondering what you guys use to collect your voicemails. Is there a charge for the voicemail service? Let me know. I'm curious. Also, if you want to check out my podcast. Certainly can. Drunken Knights Podcast. And also I do a zombie podcast called Pop Goes the Zombie. But you guys are great. Keep up the good work and stay arrogant.
Get off my back, Travis.
Get off my back. And if you plug your podcast, you owe us a rate and review on right. iTunes. No excuses.
Right. Shameless plugging by Travis.
That's the name of another one of his podcasts.
I don't know what that would be about. Let's not
earplugs.
Okay, good. Yeah. Earplug reviews.
No. Earplugs, hair plugs.
Let's leave it there.
Power plugs, butt plug. Oh.
Yeah. Oh, God, Jesse.
I'm sorry. I didn't realize that's where you were going when you cut me off.
You
until
need to
I went
understand
there.
The subtlety of the joke, mister.
You observed. It's like a quantum thing. I wouldn't have said it until you observed me about to say it.
There you go. Your Schrodinger's butt plug. Anyway, Travis, we just do all our voicemails through Google Voice. Just go to Google. They'll provision you a phone number. You can even do cool things like request a word, and they'll give you a phone number with a word in it, which is why if you want to call into the Sea Dog Press Box Seattle Mariners podcast, you can just call 701-20-FELIX.
Speaking of butt plugs.
And anyway, yeah, just use Google Voice. And anybody can use Google Voice, and you'll get voicemails. I don't know what else you would use it for if you didn't have a podcast.
It could be your home. I've actually known people who use that as they don't have a cell phone and basically use it as a home phone.
Yeah. It makes sense. You can make phone calls out of it if you have a headset.
Uh-huh.
And it's free-do.
Yeah. If it weren't free, we wouldn't be using it.
Exactly. All right.
Because we don't make any money doing this goddamn podcast.
Speaking of which, another free email service, gmail.com, personalergots@gmail.com. That's where Levi Reakin sent us an email. About the Comic Palooza. He said he wants us to know that this weekend in Houston is the Comic Palooza, a comic convention that was started right here in Houston 6 years ago. Levi will be covering it for the Houston blog Space City Rock. All these shameless plugs. The site is mainly music reviews, but they let me write movie reviews for local festivals and cover nerdy goings on. I could probably do some special PA coverage if you're interested. Yes, Levi, please do. After you go to Comic Palooza, give us a call, leave us a voicemail, 360-362-0024, and let us know how it went.
See our PAX Eats podcast to
exactly.
get a format.
Yeah, best, worst, and weirdest. He says, anyway, back to Comic Palooza. On a possible downside, there's a lot of panels with brony and steampunk in the title, mm-hmm. but I'm trying not to let that scare mm-hmm. me away. In mm-hmm. fact, it
Red
could
flag.
Make... for a very interesting article. Jesse,
mm-mm.
I'll try to keep my eyes peeled for pointless edition of Gears, which I'm sure will be prevalent.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, can you explain bronies to me? I know it's dudes that are obsessed with My Little Pony, supposedly because it holds some grand existential message that no one else is hip to. But I'm really curious, just curious enough to look into it further. If I was a real journalist, I would just look into it and write an in-depth article. But I'm not, so well. I will let you guys do the heavy lifting. Stay arrogant,
well,
Levi Reakin.
Right, get off my back.
Yes. Bronies.
As far as bronies go, and I'm pretty convinced on this now.
Mm-hmm.
I refused to watch it. It gained all this weird traction in the nerd community, and I wasn't about to watch it. But
uh-huh.
I have actually seen some of it.
Mm-hmm.
Because my fiance put it on for my baby, Russell Nisha,
right.
to watch.
Right.
Because, television's the real father of the household.
Totally.
At this point. So,
I think we all realize that. That's why I send a tie to TGIF every Father's Day.
Yeah,
sorry,
exactly.
I had to get that joke in.
I give him a pocket watch.
Yeah.
Urkel also.
Did I do that?
Especially. Did I raise you? Yes, you did, Urkel. But anyway, so basically the brony argument is like, it's actually a really good show. If you watch it, it's like really well done, really well written. It has a lot of great stuff to
uh-huh.
say. And it doesn't. It's just another cartoon.
Right.
And so when I saw that, I came to a conclusion. And that is that bronies are the hipsters of nerds.
Oh,
doing it, and they're self-aware, and they're ironically watching this show to get a stir out of people. Just how, like, hipsters wear ugly clothes, ironically, and totally self-aware because they can, and they're right. going to have stupid glasses and mustaches just to show you that they can do that. And hipsters, I mean, bronies are doing the exact same thing by watching the stupid show, which makes them look, you know, socially out of touch or whatever, but they swear that there's some sort of higher meaning or message behind it, but there's really not. They're just doing it because they can, and they're doing it to get a rise, and there's no substance behind it. It should be rejected.
Well, yeah, you know, that's the whole thing. I don't think it should be rejected. I think it's hard because you put that argument forward. It's kind of, it's almost like they're being spiteful to nerds by doing it. But at the same time, if it's what they're into and they're not hurting anybody, who
they
am
are,
I to
though.
Say? Who are they hurting?
They're hurting nerds as a whole. They're setting back the nerd movement. Dude. They're not bridging any gaps. They're making the gap wider and less bridgeable.
Interesting.
And they're doing it to be elitist. They're trying to... No, I swear to crap, this is
they're
why they're
being
doing
elitist.
It.
They're just elitist brodies.
They're elitist in that they're... Because, I mean, as we've evidenced on this podcast, the nerd culture is becoming more and more approachable. Mm-hmm. More and more people are gamers. More and more people are into comic books. Comic book movies are more and more successful.
Right.
And it's getting more fuzzy. So they're trying to, like, establish this line in the sand where, like, we're over here and the other people are over there. You know, they're trying to distance themselves from the mainstream by doing this in the name of geek culture in this weird way where, like, it kind of ropes normal nerds into it, and I don't appreciate it.
But it's not like they're being exclusive. It's not like they're not letting people in to be
bronies.
Yes,
they are.
They're being exclusive by liking something that's so dumb nobody would want to be a part of it. Is that
what
you're saying?
Exactly. They've chosen something that is not easy to embrace.
Well, yeah.
It's self-ostracization, which is not a word that exists, but I'm choosing to use it.
All right. Well, we know what Jesse thinks about it.
I wrote your article for you.
Yeah, just write that word. That's like 250 words right there, dude. You are set to jet, Levi Reakin. All right, we promised one more voicemail. Here it is, coming to us once again from the city of brotherly beer.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's JR from Philly. So I want to talk about my uncle, who's like my brewing mentor. He brews with a 25-gallon brew kettle. So when we brew, we'll break down a batch into like three or four different varieties, given different yeasts, fermentation times, dry hopping, etc. You know, so like when we did our most recent batch, we brewed with Mosaic hops. And they're relatively new. They just came out last year. And man, they are on a different wavelength. Their description is the firstborn child of Simcoe. Some have described it as Citra on steroids. It's got mango, lemon, citrus, pine, tropical fruit kind of notes going on there. And they're really awesome. So now that I kind of feel like a pothead for getting so excited about dry green plants. Anyways, you know, I just wanted to give Mosaic Hops a shout out because they're awesome. And I also wanted to see if you guys saw the news article that hipsters are allegedly driving up the price of Pabst Blue Ribbon because I guess they really drink a lot of it. And this is just another example of the way that hipsters continue to baffle me. So get off my back. Stay arrogant. Catch you later, guys.
Get off my back, JR.
Get off my back.
Yes.
They're also driving up the price of My Little Pony merchandise.
Exactly. Thoughts on hops?
I haven't got a chance to work with Mosaic yet. Mm. If I see it at a homebrew shop, I'll probably make a single hop out of it based off his recommendation.
Excellent.
That's exciting.
Yeah, and it's, dude, like a 25-gallon, that's awesome.
That's sizable.
Legitimate.
It's like a one-barrel system.
And I just want to point out that JR did call us twice this week. The first time he called us and he just, like, trailed off and started typing it on his computer.
You're gonna call him out on it.
I just loved it. It was, like, one of my favorite moments. Voicemailed him. And luckily he regrouped and then he came back.
He does his pre-pro.
He does a pre-production. He gives it a dry run.
Yeah.
Anyway.
And a dry hop.
in a dry hop. Thank you, JR. We always love getting your voicemails. And
yeah, your uncle sounds like a badass.
To the rest of the listeners who haven't called in yet, why not? Give us a call. Leave us a voicemail, 360-362-0024, or send us an email, personalarrogance@gmail.com. All right, Jesse, I think it's time to get to it. What do you say?
Let's do it to it.
All right, we're going
to
start off with a little tiny mat roll-off. We're each going to roll a 20-sided die to see who gets to speak first on the podcast. And here we go. What'd you get?
Let me pull up the dice roller here real quick.
Congratulations.
I got a 9.
A 9. I got a 17.
Ooh, dang.
All right, so for my first topic this week, I'm going to be talking about video games.
What?
Here we go.
Finish him. So, I think it's pretty obvious that there was a kind of a big announcement this week. And it has to do with the Xbox and the new Xbox, which they, I think it's really nice they named it after Air Force One, the Xbox One.
It's, you know, technically any Xbox is Xbox One if yeah. The president is playing it.
Oh, that's awesome. That is so funny. Oh, that's a good one. So yeah, the Xbox One got revealed this week. Didn't show a lot of games, with the Xbox One, but I really do think that they didn't do that because they want to reveal that stuff at E3. So They showed everything, but they showed Forza Racing. They showed the new Call of Duty Ghosts game, which includes a dog, which is good news for people who like dogs and like to see them. Die, because I guarantee you the dog is going to die in the game.
Yeah. Oh, man. That's sad.
It is sad.
It's so weird that, like, it's so easy to kill dudes in a video game.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, whatever, you're a dude. I have a gun. You're dead. But, like, one of the best improvements from the game Oblivion to the game Skyrim was that they eliminated the sound effect of, like, the wolf yelping when you attack it.
Uh-huh.
It was so sad. Like, a wolf would attack you and you'd hit it and it'd be like that sharp, high-pitched yelp.
Uh-huh.
And you'd just be like, I'm sorry, I'm killing you, but you attacked me.
You attacked me and your fur is worth money.
It made me so sad.
Yeah. Well, you know, dogs are the psychics of our world. They see deep into our souls.
That's why they're in Ghosts.
Exactly.
Call of Duty Ghosts.
They see deep into our souls but can never say a word.
Is Patrick Swayze a playable character or is that DLC?
I really hope he's in it. So yeah, Call of Duty Ghosts, Forza, and they also reveal that there's going to be a new Halo series produced by Steven Spielberg.
Who?
He's one of these indie guys.
Oh, he did Close Encounters.
Right.
Of the Covenant.
Exactly. So yeah, I that's kind of exciting. He said it was going to be a premium TV show, which makes me think it will be on a premium network.
It's going to cost 400 Xbox points
exactly.
per episode.
Ooh. Well, that's actually how I already watched Mad Men. Because I don't have AMC, I don't have cable, but I just buy every episode for $2 on Amazon Prime.
Nice.
Do it, did it, did, dot it. So anyway, that happened. And the big reveal, which I really my mind was blown, is that they decided to start off the entire press conference with something that people have wanted for years, finally, is coming. The revolution of live television is coming to your television through the Xbox One. Now, I don't know if you know about this, Jesse, but you can actually watch shows at the same time as everyone else.
So, I'm excited about this because so far my... my television is just this big blank panel when I'm not using it to kill seventh graders.
Right.
In a internet
virtual
arena.
Environment.
Virtual arena.
Right.
And otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm excited about using a television to watch TV shows. That's.
Well, you have to have cable in order to stream it through the Xbox One.
So why not just watch it on cable?
Well, if you watch it through the Xbox One, you can do cool things like do hand gestures, and then it makes the screen bigger and smaller.
off. Xbox off.
Xbox off. Yeah, that's the other thing is there's voice control. So now you can just really screw people up while they're playing a game by walking by and saying Xbox home or Xbox off.
Yeah, I know. I mean, it's almost like there's got to be like some sort of setup thing where it's like tied to your gamer account. Like only like you go through the voice command. So right. Like voice recognizes you when you set up your gamer account. So
well,
like,
it does do that. So it has voice recognition so that when you say Xbox on, it knows who's saying it and it automatically signs into their Xbox Live account.
Nice.
Which I can't imagine that would ever go wrong. And I'm sure
roommates
tech support
of
on that
ventriloquists
is really
fun. Are in trouble.
Right.
So are we just going to breeze by the name?
What, the Xbox One?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a pretty terrible name.
It is not just a pretty terrible name. It's the worst possible name.
Why?
If you're going to go by the model of Xbox and then a number,
mm-hmm.
I guess Xbox 2 would be worse.
Yeah.
But Xbox One is the second worst option.
Well, the whole reasoning was that they had the Xbox, and the Xbox was the contemporary of the PlayStation 2. So, when they came out with the Xbox 360, the PlayStation was already on the PS3. So, they didn't want to make the Xbox 2 because it sounded like it was a generation behind the PS3. So, they made the Xbox 360. Mm-hmm. Now, all of that logic is completely thrown out the window because now you have the PS4 and the Xbox One.
It's so, I mean, we already have an Xbox One. Yeah. It's the Xbox One.
Right.
It's the original Xbox. It's so weird. It almost looks like it almost feels like a retcon, you know, like yeah. They're pretending that other stuff didn't happen.
It's the prequel to Xbox. It's the updated prequel.
When I heard about the Xbox One, I was like, I said to Tasha, like, what's like the worst possible name if you just go with Xbox and then a number? What's the worst possible thing you can think of? And uh-huh. She said Xbox Zero. I was like, actually, that's even better.
Xbox Zero is cooler. That sounds a lot cooler. That really does sound cooler. They should have gone with Xbox Zero.
It's like, how did this board meeting go?
I don't know.
I would love to be a fly on the wall when they decided what that name was. Because I guarantee you it was a ton of out-of-touch people who have no idea what anyone's looking for or what sounds good at all.
Yeah, I'm sure it was some kind of bureaucratic thing where it was like, this is the name they landed on and nobody was happy with it. But everybody was kind of okay with it.
Yeah, everyone else hated another name
more.
A different amount of, right. Different other names more than the Xbox One. So you got a Putney Swope situation on your hands at that point.
It's so weird. They have like so many, like the name that was floating around on Reddit was Xbox Infinity.
Which is better.
It's better. Plus like Xbox One, there's already a phone called the HTC One. So there's already a plane called the Air Force One. I don't know.
And there's already a war called the World War One.
Exactly. A name is a name, though, really. All it is a label. It's all about what the actual product is. But frankly, as somebody who doesn't, there's a really cool thing that they're doing with the NFL, which I'm very, very excited about, and something I've always wanted on a television. And it was actually something that I'm like, this is actually something that might make me want to get this, is that with the NFL, you can watch the NFL games and your fantasy players will be on the side of the TV and they will auto update as their points go up and down.
Who gives a fuck?
I love it because I watch football with my laptop in my lap and now I can just watch the whole thing on the screen. Although it was just like the weirdest thing. And the fact that your live TV is a pass through on your Xbox One, so you can be playing a game and then you can go Xbox, watch TV. And then it switched. In the demo they did that, it switched and it went straight to The Price is Right, which is like, okay, so you're catering to old people and college kids because those are the only ones who watch that show.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah. What I love about this is that it will also be able to ruin NFL for me.
Yeah.
So that's great.
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't see anything that made me like super in awe. I don't like that it comes with the Kinect because I'm just not sold on the Kinect.
Wasn't this like the top of your wish list for Christmas a couple years ago?
What?
The Kinect?
Yeah, probably before it came out and I actually used it. I don't know. It's just, it's like I've never had a remote control in my hand and been like, you know what would make this better? If I could just flail my arms in the air and, and then that would do. Like,
that's
I don't
not
that.
True. You are on record as saying, like, you wanted Kinect so you could browse your Netflix queue with your hands.
That's true, Jesse, but people change.
Okay.
I appreciate you calling me on my bullshit, but I could say I'm officially changed.
That's fair enough.
I don't know. Xbox One. Plus, they're going to be selling it concurrently with the Xbox, which I'm excited about because I kind of want to buy a new Xbox. And I'm sure the price will drop a lot, but I'm assuming this thing's going to be $500-$600 when it comes out. And I just can't imagine spending that kind of money on this thing.
No, there's no way. I don't even have cable. Like, it's right. not going to enhance anything for me.
Yeah. The only problem is it's not reverse compatible. So you won't be able to play Xbox 360 games on it. And if you want to buy a used game, you're going to have to pay to use that on your Xbox. You're going to have to pay an extra fee to be able to use it on your Xbox One.
Yeah, that's insane. How much is the fee, do you know?
I don't know, but it really bothers me. It's like they're abandoning the group that made the Xbox popular, and I think that they could be shooting themselves in the foot big time by trying to get families to buy an Xbox One to watch their cable through, when really their bread and butter is gamers buying it to play games on. That's still the number one demographic of people buying this console.
It's very bizarre, and it feels like we need to... pieces of technology. We need mm-hmm. the home entertainment enhancer.
Right.
And then we need a game console. And right. it shouldn't be one thing. There should be like something like the Xbox One that does all your multimedia stuff that mm-hmm. your family buys, and you get that for that kind of entertainment. And then that same company should also make like put a disc in it and play this awesome game.
Right. It's This is why I'm excited about things, because this is also the first console generation that has had to compete directly with Steam during their development process. So
right.
Steam's a game changer in terms of games and the way people acquire games. And the saddening thing is that it doesn't seem like from what we've seen from the PlayStation 4 and what we've seen from the Xbox One is that they're not embracing the Steam model as much as they probably should be.
Right.
Second of all, There's new opportunities. There's the Ouya box, which is a $99 box for indie development. And that's another thing, is it seemed like the Xbox One isn't really concerned with indie development, which is understandable. They're a major corporation. They're going to do what they do. But the Ouya box is like a new alternative. It's a $99 game box that plugs in and gives you HD games, on the cheap. And then, oh gosh, I can't remember what that virtual reality, screen is. Can't remember what it's called. It was kickstarted. So it's kind of interesting. I feel like we're in a transitional time because we have these
right.
standby consoles, very, very much like what was happening in the late 90s. We had these standby consoles, but there's new technology emerging that gamers are flocking to. So
right.
it's an interesting, time right now. Not sold on the Xbox One, though.
Yeah, not. I mean, it's going to take a lot for me to want to buy that.
Yeah.
I'm honestly disappointed in my Xbox. And actually, my Xbox has been fucking up lately.
What's been wrong with it?
It's been doing this thing where, like, basically, if you're playing a game, like, the shaded, you know, kind of darker areas
Ooh.
Of the screen have, like, this kind of pulsating white lines that run through them.
Cool.
It almost looks like it's been taken over by the Matrix,
uh-huh.
and it's super distracting.
That might be your TV.
No, it's the Xbox.
Well, the Oculus Rift is that virtual reality.
Oh,
that's
right.
What I was talking about. So anyway, Xbox One, kind of a bummer, but at the same time, like I said, there's some pretty exciting new things that are emerging in the field. And I mean, I'm probably going to buy one at some point, so I'll probably buy it, Microsoft.
I'm just going to buy more cast irons and go live in my log cabin.
There you go.
And play my board games.
I have to say, I have turned on my Xbox so much less now that I have a Roku box.
The
Roku
yeah,
box,
I can see that.
$50, and it does all those home entertainment things that I need it to. Anyway, Jesse, what's your first topic this week?
Well, for my first topic, I want to talk a little bit about beer. In Germany, they have the Bavarian Purity Law of 1516.
Oh, yeah.
A.K.A. Rheinheitsgebot.
Classic. It says that the water can move into your house with less than a month's notice.
Yeah. Beer, any brewer is legally allowed to turn your house into a brewery on right. 3 weeks' notice.
Exactly.
But what the beer actually says is that there's only allowed to be three ingredients in beer. Water, malt, and hops. If you're asking what happened to yeast, it's because back then they didn't even know what the heck yeast was, so mm-hmm. they didn't include it.
Right.
And the Brewers Guild in Germany is using this to protest fracking in their country.
Fracking? Are they big Battlestar Galactica fans?
They are, but not the good kind of fracking.
Oh, the bad fracking.
Yeah, the bad, alleged, whatever, bad kind of fracking.
The question mark fracking.
Yeah, where you get oil or something. I don't even know how it works. Mm-hmm. But they say that the process threatens to contaminate drinking water, therefore, you know, violating the purity law.
Right.
And that's according to a letter written by the German Brewers Federation to the federal government and quoted by the Mass Daily tabloid Bild. So awesome source on this.
Excellent. Bild.
And this is B-I-L-D. Mm-hmm. Bild.
That's where I get my German news.
Yeah. And so basically they're doing like this little workaround to try and protest hydrofracking or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Saying that's going to contaminate their water supply and therefore violate this ancient law. And it all comes down to making beer.
This is so when was this law put into place?
1516. This article says it's the world's first food purity legislation.
Wow. So
which I don't know if I believe.
Yeah, I mean that's a little assumptive.
I feel like in China in like 300 BC they're probably like, let's just make rice out of rice, guys.
There's Well, and I'm sure there was like a footnote in like Hammurabi's code or something that was like no, I don't know, honey in your yam sauce.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's a
euphemism. There's also, actually, now that I think, well, I mean, you could look at this two ways. In the, like, Old Testament, they're like, don't eat shrimp.
Right.
I mean, that's kind of that.
Well, yeah, totally. There are totally, like, food laws in Leviticus.
Right.
It's like, don't put your sheep and your pigs together.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, exactly. It's like, don't eat. You know, don't eat meat with the milk of the mother.
And don't wear two different fabrics together.
Mm-hmm.
So
or you'll burn in hell.
Exactly.
So, I don't know. It's cool. What do you think about this, though? I mean, maybe
they're genuinely
concerned about the water, but I feel like they're probably also being, you know, politically active.
I love it. There's a few things that I really like about this. I like that people are getting involved in politics.
Mm-hmm.
I like beer and brewers.
Thank you.
I like, I'm a big fan of historical precedent. and I love
it can be good and bad, though.
It can be totally terrible, but I'm just saying that I like that they're, it's like in Good Will Hunting when he would go to court, he would like quote like land cases from 1784.
Mm-hmm.
I like that they're being smart about it. They're being kind of smart, Alex, but they're putting the smart in smart, Alex.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
and they're cutting to the quick of the German voter, which
right?
is the beer.
Absolutely. I think it's kind of great that I'm the type of guy, like if I learn a game, I like to learn all of the rules
right.
so that I can jerry rig them into a way that will, work to my advantage. And I feel like that's what the Brewers are doing here.
Right.
They care about two things. They care about beer and they care about fracking, apparently, and they're figuring out a way to meld those into a message.
Yeah, I feel like if I were a German brewer, I would take it another step. I would be like, I would not pay my water bill,
mm-hmm.
right? And then they would, you know, the water company would shut down my water, and I'd be like, hey, Rheinheitsgebot, baby, like I have to be clean. I go to work in the brewery. Maybe, you know, I have lamb dust on me.
Right.
That gets that gets shaken off into the beer, and then, you know, no more Bavarian purity laws, so you have to provide me with water.
Exactly. I love it. Yeah, they should really figure out ways to take this to the extreme.
Yeah, definitely.
So, wait, what was it? What's this called? The law?
Rhein-Heisgebot.
Rhein-Heisgebot.
A.K.A. Bavarian purity law.
The Rhein-Heisgebot, that's the name of my death metal band.
Yeah, it's...
Rhein-Heisgebot.
That's okay.
Yep, death metal.
You can work on that.
Yeah, I'm not going to scream right into the listener's ear. That was my whisper scream.
Uh-huh. You know, I think it's more powerful as a whisper scream.
Me too. Actually, sidetrack here. When I was in college, I was in a screamo band, which you know.
Uh-huh. But what were they called again?
Fight Fair.
Oh, signed to a label, right?
They turned into a pop punk band and then got signed to a label.
What happened to them?
They went on Warped Tour and then now they're just doing other things. Like a couple of guys just graduated from college.
Just now?
Yeah.
Okay.
Doing their thing. Anyway, but the guitarist of the band would like practice screaming when he was in the shower. And he was in my dorm, so like you could hear him practicing while he was in the shower.
That's
and then like
super annoying.
He would practice screaming like just while you're sitting around, but he would whisper scream. So he'd be like, and he was like, yeah, I definitely need to start a whisper screaming band.
It basically
it'd be like the Bon Iver of hardcore. So yeah, anyway, I don't know where that story was going. But Jesse, do you have anything else on this beer thing?
No, that's it. I'm assuming since it's Germany and it has to do with beer that the brewers will get their way. At least I hope so.
Uh-huh.
And, yeah, more power to them. They're my allies in Central Europe, so.
The only, lobbying group that is bigger than the beer lobby is the Lederhosen lobby.
Yeah.
And then I hear that the Alphorn lobby is already on board with this, so They're really getting in there. Along with the cuckoo clock lobby. Dennis Kleinbeck, where have you been? Let us know how it's going in Germany.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Give
What's
us a
up,
German
Dennis?
Update, Dennis. Dennis. Don't be a menace. All right, let's move on.
Yeah.
Let's get to some trivia. We're going to do World Domination again this week. It is the worst game to ever come out of Australia, and that's why we're playing it. I'm going to roll a six-sided die. See which category we will be doing this week. It is five. It's alive. It's America. All right, Jesse, you ready for your first question?
I am ready.
Where did the Contras of the Iran-Contra affair come from?
Where did they come from?
Yeah, where did the Contras of the Iran-Contra come from?
They're American.
Uh-huh.
So America?
I'm going to say Chicago. Nicaragua.
What?
Apparently not from America.
Oh, I'm thinking of the Iranian hostage crisis.
Yeah.
I'm mixing up my Iranian crises.
Well, it's easy to do. This one's for me. Who played Jamie Buckman in Mad About You? I believe that's Helen Hunt.
Well, if it's not Helen Hunt, it's the guy from Aliens.
Paul Reiser. It's Helen Hunt. I guess, yeah. I mean, Jamie could be a guy.
That's true. I didn't even think about that.
Just like the Mythbuster. Jesse, this one's for you. How many U.S. presidents have been assassinated?
Ooh, good question.
Uh-huh.
Let me just see. Obviously, JFK.
Right.
Abraham Lincoln.
Mm-hmm.
Was McKinley assassinated? And Garfield? Is it four?
I think you got it. I didn't think you were going to get McKinley. I'll say three. Four, Jesse. You know your assassinations. this one's for me. Which U.S. president was the nation's youngest when he first took office?
Easy.
It's one of two. I'm going to go with... I'm going to go with Bill Clinton.
I'm sure it's JFK.
Okay. Both wrong. Teddy Roosevelt.
Are you jiving me?
I am not jiving.
How old was he?
Doesn't say. It just says Theodore Roosevelt.
Wow. Interesting.
Yeah, that is interesting.
My whole worldview has been shaken.
My whole worldview has changed. Just another badass moment from brought to you by Teddy Roosevelt.
I know. He was a real real crazy son of a gun. That I heard that if you went by like the standards that determine whether or not you're allowed to be in a presidential debate now, Teddy Roosevelt, when he ran with the Bull Moose Party, wouldn't even be eligible.
Yeah.
Former president of the United States, not eligible for the presidential debates.
The Bull Moose Party was like the weirdest thing ever. Like,
awesomest thing ever.
If that would have caught steam, like it would have been like the Green Party meets like libertarians.
Unstoppable. That's like a tornado.
The Green Bertarians.
The Green Beret Bertarians.
Yeah.
Like, man, that would be fantastic.
Crazy shit. Yeah.
I'm going to make a Bull Moose Brewing Company.
Oh, that's cool. Put Teddy on the cover.
Mm-hmm. On the cover of my beer.
Right.
Right. Beers have covers.
Yeah, it'll be in a book. All right, my second topic this week is going to be about movies.
Do you know what Nemesis means?
So Roger Dotsy, last week, he called in and challenged us to tell him what movie to watch this past weekend.
I hope you're burping because your voice just got really pretentious.
I was burping.
Good.
I want people to know I'm literally burping this entire episode. I've just got really good at burping.
His voice isn't anything like what you think it is. This is not all his burp voice.
It is. So Roger Dotsy called in. He said that he was going to watch a movie this week, and he said he was going to call and tell us how it went, but he didn't give us a call, which I'm kind of bummed about. Roger.
What the hell?
Kentucky Colonel. But he was asking us whether he should go see The Great Gatsby, whether he should go see Iron Man 3, or whether he should go see Star Trek Into Darkness. And at the time,
so he decided to do all three.
The only movie that I had seen up to that point was The Great Gatsby. So I could give him a full recommendation on that, but I was a little iffy on the other two. I ended up telling him to go see Star Trek Into Darkness. And then this past weekend, I went on Saturday, saw Into Darkness, and then Sunday, I was like, for the hell of it, I'll just go and see Iron Man 3. Because I was by myself, and I went to the movie theater by myself, which is an awesome thing to do.
I've never done that.
It's super fun, except this time I had to sit between two dads, which was not fun.
Sounds like a great podcast, though, Between Two Dads. Exactly. Every week, you get two different dads.
Yeah. Dads. So I'm going to give a little bit of a rundown on all three of these movies because opening this week is Fast and the Furious 6. I would say any of these movies would be a better bet than that one.
Whoa. Don't talk about Vinny D that way.
Hey, dude, Vinny D is legit.
Mm-hmm. So is The Rock.
Yeah.
So deal with that.
So deal with that. Can you deal with that?
I cannot.
So first of all, Great Gatsby. Great Gatsby is, I talked about it in last week's show, but it's a pretty good recreation of that story that everybody had to read in high school, or at least was assigned in high school. And the thing that I didn't talk about is like this is a movie that you have to see in 3D. There are some really cool 3D elements in The Great Gatsby. Everything from like the opening title sequence to all of the stylistic party scenes to like, it's just a movie that you should really experience in 3D. It was shot in 3D and it was made to watch in 3D. So that's a Great Gatsby. I think it's pretty, that movie's been out for like 2 weeks. So get off my back about it. But Star Trek Into Darkness is a film that I wanted to talk about. And Jesse, are you worried about me spoiling these movies?
Spoiling?
Yeah.
No, take it easy on Star Trek. I really want to see it, but I haven't gotten the chance to.
Okay. What do you know? Do you know anything about it yet?
I know that, spoiler alert.
Okay, yeah, spoiler. You can look at the time codes if you want to skip this, but you're going to spoil both of these movies.
Okay. I know that Khan is a person.
Right.
A character.
Right.
That's about all I know. I kind of deduced that the Enterprise goes down at one point. I heard that they sink it, they put it underwater.
Yep.
That's the extent of how much it's been spoiled for me.
Well, I want to talk about this. I want to talk about Star Trek Into Darkness, and I want to talk about Iron Man 3. Because these are like kind of the two ends of the spectrum. I really enjoyed Star Trek Into Darkness, and I was just not into Iron Man 3. And I'm the type of guy who bemoans when fanboys just hate a movie because they would nitpick it apart. Mm-hmm. But Iron Man 3 didn't have the elements that allowed me to overlook the inaccuracies or lack of continuity or logical errors or plot holes.
Okay.
Because Star Trek Into Darkness has those, just like any movie has those. But it was able to overcome that by having a compelling story and good characters.
Mm-hmm.
So Star Trek Into Darkness, so Khan is in there. And the main thing is that Khan has a very good motivation behind what he's trying to do. He's not necessarily evil. He's got a clear point of view and a clear objective,
uh-huh.
and will stop at nothing to achieve that objective. And that includes running over Starfleet. But he's doing it for a purpose, and he has a very clear reason why he's doing it. And you can pretty easily identify with that reason as to why he's doing it.
Interesting.
And it lines a lot up with the exact same reason that why Kirk is motivated in the film, because basically both of them are worried about the people that they are responsible for. So the clear motivations, basically the protagonist and the antagonist in the movie both have the same motivations, but because both of them are responsible to different people, they have to be enemies. It's a pretty compelling thing, and there are plot holes, but it's also just a rip-roaring fun ride. Like, mm-hmm. if I had to compare it to a movie with the amount of fun that I had watching Star Trek Into Darkness, I would compare it to the first Pirates of the Caribbean movie.
Wow.
Like, I remember,
I had a lot of fun watching that movie.
Yeah. I remember distinctly, like, just being like, man, that was just a rip-roaring fun, swashbuckling adventure. And uh-huh. that's what Star Trek Into Darkness is. It's a rip-roaring fun swashbuckling adventure.
Sparkling.
With a lot, and it's also, you know, the second act, so there's some dark stuff that goes on in there too. But just uh-huh. from a standpoint of compelling characters and good motivated plot, it allows you to overlook the things that happen in a science fiction movie that become plot holes, and it was really fun. So Star Trek Into Darkness, I just really loved it. And where Star Trek Into Darkness excelled, that's where Iron Man 3 fell short.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, and I can spoil Iron Man 3 for you, right?
Yes, I'm not going to watch that.
Okay, so
I didn't see Iron Man 2.
So the big plot twist in Iron Man 3, the villain in Iron Man 3 is the Mandarin, portrayed by Ben Kingsley. Or so you think. Because you find out halfway through the movie that Ben Kingsley is not actually the Mandarin. He's an actor portraying the Mandarin.
Mm-hmm.
And the real Mandarin is the guy who's been in the movie all along as kind of this business antagonist. It's very similar to the role that Sam Rockwell played in Iron Man 2. But you didn't see Iron Man 2. But the main problem with this movie is that Tony Stark is trying to deal with a lot of different things. He has anxiety attacks. He is wrestling over his anxiety attacks, and he's got kind of depression going on, or kind of overshadowing his relationship with Pepper Potts. So he's kind of locked himself in his lab, and he's basically reverted into working on his Iron Man suits, and that's what he's doing. The Mandarin, on the other hand, is actually this guy, Aldrich Killian, and he has taken extremists, which in the comic books was a way for Iron Man to basically have the Iron Man suit on him at all times, and his cells could become the Iron Man suit. In the movie, extremists is it's basically Wolverine serum, so it speeds up healing, but it also makes you on fire, basically. And if you overdose on it, you explode.
Mm. Bummer.
Yeah. So Guy Pearce plays Aldrich Killian, and he basically gets hold of the extremist serum, and he starts injecting ex-soldiers with it who have appendages that were amputated due to war injuries. Mm-hmm. So this grows their appendages back, but then they also become basically human time bombs because they are also junkies for extremists, and they get like withdrawals if they don't have it, and then they take they overdose on it, and then they explode. So there's all these bombings happening around, and it's these people exploding. Mm-hmm. Apparently, Aldrich Killian's motivation behind this is that Tony Stark slighted him when he was, like back in 1999, he slighted him and didn't fund his research. So Aldrich Killian is doing all these bombings and coming up with the character of the Mandarin as a terrorist organization in order to blackmail Tony Stark into investing in extremists as it becomes a government contract, because there's a plot to assassinate the president that the vice president has put into place so that his daughter can grow her leg back. She's an amputee. And for some reason, this makes Aldrich Killian rule the world. I have no idea what this guy's motivation is. It's like 400 different things.
Mm.
So a lack of a clear motivation. And also, Tony Stark is basically trying not to be Iron Man the entire movie. And the climax of the film is him blowing up all of his Iron Man suits and then getting rid of the electromagnet in his heart. Because apparently it was that easy. He could just do it at any time. He just chose not to.
Doesn't he need that to live?
No, apparently not. Apparently he can get it removed at any time because he does at the end of the movie.
Huh.
And like in the final battle, he blows up the Mandarin by putting him in an Iron Man suit and then having it self-destruct. Blows up the Mandarin. The Mandarin then reconstructs himself because he has extremists. And then starts to beat up Tony. And then, extremists also gives him super strength. Pepper, who's also been injected with extremists, then fights him and then blows him up again. But this time he doesn't reconstruct. And that's the end of him.
And what point does Thor show up?
I wish, man. Oh, Thor showed up in the previous. Thor the Dark World's coming out in November. I'm very excited about that.
This is one of the biggest problems I have with the movie is when a villain just isn't making sense.
Right.
Especially when, like, if you look at it from like a D&D point of view, it's mm-hmm. like you have this person who's like lawful good, and then they just kind of take this crazy swing and end up being chaotic evil. It's like, wow, you went through a lot of steps there to get where you're at.
Yeah.
It's like the worst example of this is a law-abiding citizen.
Okay.
Is the name of it.
Law-abiding citizen.
And he basically, like, his wife and kid get murdered in front of his eyes. And then he, like, goes off the deep end because, like, the people, like, the murderers are convicted of murder but get off with, like, a 7-year sentence or whatever.
Uh-huh.
Or one of them does because he, like, rats the other one out. And then one of them gets life in prison. So he's like, as soon as this guy comes out of prison, I'm going to kill him because he shouldn't get away with what he got away with.
Uh-huh.
And then, like, he takes it on himself to bring down like the whole criminal justice system, and like he really goes off the deep end, and in the course of the movie he kills like scores of innocent people.
Uh-huh.
And it's just like, isn't your whole thing that like you shouldn't kill innocent people, and now you're killing like all sorts of innocent people?
Yeah.
And it's just like when a character goes too far because of some reason, like a dude doesn't just go evil and start killing people because his science project doesn't get funded.
Exactly.
That just doesn't happen. The entire premise of your movie is flawed because people don't behave like that.
And it's just like the motivation floated from thing to thing to thing. The Iron Man 3 was written by the same guy, Shane Black, who wrote all of the Lethal Weapon movies, and was a big writer back in the, he wrote a lot of, you know, big action movies in the 80s and 90s. And he basically wrote like a 90s action flick and then put superheroes in it.
Yeah.
And like there was literally a point in the movie. There's this whole point in the movie where Iron Man, where Tony Scott goes to, Tony Scott, Tony, what's his name?
Stark.
Tony Stark goes to Tennessee or Kentucky or something. Tennessee. And he basically befriends this young kid who helps him like build a suit or whatever. And he literally at one point in the movie says the words, because the kid tells him that his dad ran away 6 years ago. He goes, "Dad's run away. Don't be a pussy." He literally says that to the kid in a Disney Marvel movie. I just thought that was the weirdest thing. And it
he
took
said
me,
pussy?
He said pussy. He said, "Don't be a pussy."
Weird.
Yes. How weird is that? That moment completely took me out of that whole scene. The whole tone of the thing was off. And that's the number one complaint about this, is that it basically just ran away. The tone was off. It was not, it really wasn't what the Jon Favreau ones were. I would have been very excited to see what Jon Favreau would have done with this movie. But yeah, at the end of the movie, they blow up the Mandarin the second time. He miraculously doesn't, come back from being blown up the second time. And then 5 seconds later, Tony Stark blows up all of his Iron Man suits. And then there's like a montage where he gets his electromagnet removed and then he throws it into the ocean and then he drives away and that's the movie.
That sounds pretty boring.
Well, yeah, and even the last, like, you know, there's the after credit sequence, which is in every Marvel film, and even the after sequence, after
credit sequence,
after credit sequence, was not good. It was just, you just find that the voiceover during the entire movie was him talking to Bruce Banner, and it was basically just a joke. It was a bummer, man.
Weird. What if the after credit sequence was him jumping back into the ocean to retrieve it?
See, that would have been cool. Or like somebody else, like Hawkeye shows up or something.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's they didn't have any other Marvel characters in the whole movie either. Which after the Avengers is a little weird.
Yeah. Or like Hawkeye's at a Starbucks and he checks his phone and it's like 22 missed calls from oh shit.
See, that would have been awesome. That would have been really good. Yeah. They have this whole thing where they're like, "We're dealing with terrorists and S.H.I.E.L.D. doesn't deal with terrorists." That's how they explain that there aren't any other Marvel characters in the movie.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Anyway. You know what they're doing? You know, they're bringing Agent Coulson back for the S.H.I.E.L.D. TV show after he died in the Avengers. That would have been a cool reveal, is like if he is leading an expedition team to retrieve the electromagnet from the bottom of the ocean. And it like pans up and it's him in a helicopter. And that would be the reveal that he's still alive. That would have been cool.
Or there's like a submarine, you know, external shot submarine in darkness with a beam. And then, you know, it focuses its beam on the electromagnetic heart, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Picks it up with like some sort of external claw. The camera zooms in on the window to the submarine. Oh shit, who's there? James Cameron. Gives you a knowing wink. Black.
That would have been a pretty epic after credit sequence.
Everyone would be stoked for the next movie.
Yeah, totally. James Cameron's gonna be in it. Oh man. So Jesse, what's your second topic?
That's a good question. For my second topic, I want to talk about a little something that could be either science or the Panfi update.
How much would you pay for the universe?
Now, there's two kinds of volcanoes. Some that ooze molten rock, and others that explode.
If today we're able to create a two-headed dog with six legs, is it possible that a similar creature existed thousands of years ago? And I say yes.
Is it survival more important or sex?
Hey, Scott. So I'm not going to call it a Panfi update because I haven't done anything.
Good.
I'm the fat tenor that everyone loves. But there's a new article in USA Today that is basically headlined that diners badly underestimate calories in fast food meals.
Oh.
So they did a study and basically asked, you know, people how many calories they thought they consumed when they had their fast food meal versus how many they actually consumed. and then found the difference between those two numbers and came up with some statistics.
Okay.
So, 1/4 of participants underestimated the calories by at least 500 calories.
Whoa!
That's a grip of calories.
That's a lot of calories.
To be off by 500. So 25% of people eating fast food are off by 500.
Does it have like the average calorie count of a fast food meal?
Yeah, they do. And they broke it up into three groups, which are funny. They have teens.
Mm-hmm.
They have adults.
Mm-hmm.
And then they have parents of school-age children.
Okay.
Because parents of school-age children are not adults.
Right.
They are their own third age.
They only talk to people who are on 16 and pregnant.
It branches off into its own extrapolated age.
Yeah.
But yeah, so teen fast food orders are on average 756 calories.
Wow.
And they underestimated their calories by 259 on average.
Well, you know, that's not that bad.
So they thought they were eating a 500 calorie thing and they were eating a over 700 calorie thing.
Yeah.
Adults.
Uh-huh.
Average meal, 836.
Okay.
So.
That's interesting to me. When I was a teenager, like I ate way more. Yeah, but when I was a teenager, I ate way more than I do now. I used to like down a box of taquitos for a snack.
And yeah. That's actually like the popular stereotype is like teens are always eating. They'll devour your entire fridge.
Right.
But teens are eating 756 and adults are eating 836.
What's the example you're setting? Obviously, these aren't parents. They're just adults.
Yeah, they're just shitty adults with no kids.
Right.
Useless, you know, grazers, we call them. We parents call you grazers. And then, so I guess the whole school age thing was they asked the parents, you know, for on behalf of the school age children. So school age children meals were 733, which is essentially exactly the same as the teens order.
Okay.
And the parents' guesstimates were 175 too low.
Okay.
So at least the parents are a little more on the ball than the teens on what they're actually consuming.
I mean, basically everybody's just assuming they're eating 500 calories per meal.
Yeah, that's probably true.
Yeah.
Because you're like, I eat four meals a day, and I'm not supposed to eat any more than 2,800.
Right.
So... I'd say 500.
I'm a grazer.
Yeah, I'm a grazer. I just eat. And the last and final bullet point here, which I think is actually pretty interesting, is that diners at Subway underestimated the calories in their order by a larger amount than diners at McDonald's, Burger King, KFC, Wendy's, or Dunkin' Donuts.
Who's eating meals at Dunkin' Donuts?
Dude, I don't know. Dunkin' Donuts is like an anomaly to me. I think it's a West Coast thing.
No, it's an East Coast thing.
Well, I know. It's a West Coast attitude to not have any idea about what's actually going on at Dunkin' Donuts.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe they have meals.
They probably do.
Can I get a breakfast sandwich with a side of maple bars?
They do the Luther Vandross,
mm-hmm.
where it's like a burger patty and bacon and cheese in between two donuts.
Oh, my God.
But so basically people at Subway are dramatically underestimating the amount of calories they're actually consuming.
Well, that makes sense. I mean, Subway, people think that they're like basically stuffing a piece of bread full of like meat and barbecue
ham
sauce.
And cheese and mayonnaise.
Right. And then, oh, yeah, it's only 250 calories.
Healthy. RG3 eats this.
RG3 runs over hurdles and then eats this and then runs over hurdles away.
Michael Crabtree ate this.
Oh.
And I don't see any problems there.
Oh.
I don't know. What's your, just on a personal scale, what's your fast food intake been like lately?
I've been trying not to do fast food. I only do fast food when I'm feeling like I need a pick me up. And,
yeah,
and my wife is nowhere
around.
Well, I told you, I think I talked about this on the podcast. Like one time, I thought my wife was going to be at work. So I picked up Taco Bell and I was like, I'll eat this Taco Bell and then she won't know and it'll be fine. And I walk in the door with literally two, because I got two gorditas, a bean burrito, and a quesadilla, and then I got the giant Mountain Dew. And I like walk in the door with my two bags and my giant Mountain Dew, and she's sitting on the couch, and I swear, like, I felt like I just like had betrayed her so badly.
That's hilarious.
She said I looked
like
so sheepish.
In with a prostitute. Or
exactly.
Something.
Like she said I looked so sheepish, and then. Like, I just had to sit there and shame eat it in front of her.
That's when you turn around and be like, oh, wrong apartment. Just go eat it in your car and come back, man. And pretend it never happened.
I used to have this routine where I would, like, go, I would get Taco Bell, and then she used to work till, like, 10 o'clock, so then I would, like, go and I would throw it away in the dumpster outside so it wouldn't be in the house. Oh, I had to sneak it around. But yeah, now I just basically don't do that anymore.
That's good. I live in a town with no fast food now.
Oh, yeah, that does it. You guys got a McDonald's.
We got a McDonald's, but
yeah.
I'm not blaming McDonald's for this, but coincidentally, I got really sick one day.
Uh-huh.
The same day I ate McDonald's.
Well, there you go.
So I actually haven't been back there since.
It's like McDonald's to you is like vodka to me.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, and that's the whole thing. Basically, I don't mean to be too graphic here, guys, but fast food pretty much does the exact same thing as X-Lax to me. No
yeah,
matter when I
eat it. Put your gorditas down, guys.
Yeah, it's gross. My body feverishly rejects that and whenever I eat it fast food. So,
See, I'm okay. My body is a trooper.
My body hates it. I might as well just chase it with two Peptos if I'm going to do it. Bad news.
Yeah. You're still buying two gorditas, a quesadilla, and
an 89-cent bean burrito.
And a bean burrito.
Right.
Taco Bell's so good, though.
I would
would trade our town's McDonald's in for Taco Bell in a heartbeat.
Well, I mean, you can get the Taco Bell KFC hybrid. Then you can get, like, the Taco Bell Pizza Hut hybrids are bullshit. But the Taco Bell KFC hybrids are great because you can get the snacker and you can get a burrito.
What more could you ask for?
What more could
really?
You ask for? Oh, Roger.
I would underestimate that by about 138 calories.
Definitely. Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Like, fast food is packed with calories.
Well, yeah, that also. So I worked at a Dairy Queen briefly.
Mm-hmm.
And we had this big laminated sheet that we kept behind the counter
mm-hmm.
with all the calories on it.
Yeah.
And one day me and a guy I worked with figured out like what was the most calorie rich meal you could order. And it was like the double flamethrower, whatever, with a large fries and sub your soda in for a large cookie dough blizzard.
That sounds delicious, by the way.
It was like 200. It was like 2,200 calories. It was like more than a day's worth of calories.
Yeah, I remember one time when I was in high school, when I was a growing boy, I went to the mall and I bought two Cinnabons and ate them both in one sitting.
Wow,
that's like 2,000 calories.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever actually had a
Cinnabon. You've never had a Cinnabon? Oh my god, dude.
Dude, I've been ruined. There's no way I could enjoy that because my mom makes the best cinnamon rolls.
I would like this a side-by-side comparison.
Well, you know, my mom actually likes you enough. She'd probably oblige you.
Anyway, hopefully we've made you hungry, listener. if you did get hungry, let us know how we made you hungry and what you want to eat at personalarrogance@gmail.com. You can give us a call, leave us a voicemail, 360-362-0024. You can go on Facebook. We're on there. We got the Bald Move Facebook page. We got the Personal Arrogance Facebook page. We're also on Twitter at Personal Podcast. And please, guys, rate and review us on iTunes. You've been doing it like crazy, and we love it. It's been helping us out a bunch move up those iTunes ranks. So if you haven't done so already, it takes about 2 minutes. Just go on iTunes, rate and review the Personal Arrogance Podcast, and it helps us out a ton. And of course, tell a friend. If you like what you hear, let other people know about it.
Tell your Magic the Gathering group.
Right. These guys talk about magic at the beginning of the show every
once
in a while.
Or tell your homebrew club.
Do it. So speaking of Facebook, let's move on to the Facebook roundup this week. Each week we post a thread on there and you tell us what you want us to talk about. First one from Lee Awesome Wilson. Is there any relation there?
Leah.
Oh, Leah.
That's my cousin.
Okay, cool.
I didn't know she posted.
She is wondering about the GIF/GIF controversy. It's been floating around Reddit.
Oh, yeah.
So how to pronounce GIF.
Dude, for those of you that don't know, the creator of GIF.GIF right. came out and said, it's actually pronounced GIF, like the peanut butter. And my response is, if you wanted it to be GIF, you should have spelled it with a J, dingo.
Dude, yeah, it's GIF. Like,
it's a GIF.
There's like Giffords is like a name. So it's GIF, dude. GIF. Yeah.
It's a GIF.
A GIF is GIF.
Mm-hmm.
Although giraffe is GIR. That'd be a GIF.
It'd still be GIF. Oh, wait.
Exactly.
Fuck.
Damn it.
I don't care. It's a GIF.
Yeah, I'm calling it a GIF. Because all of them are like small little GIFs that the internet gives you.
That's cute.
Jacob Jones Martinez says, I know this is old, but I would totally listen to the Costner cast. It could even be Costner for a year or some such, then Nick Cage or some such for a year. Wait, never mind. Copyright. It's mine. I'm doing it with Angela. Are you in?
I'm in.
I'm in too. Yeah. I mean, it writes
I'll
itself.
Guest star.
It's the Kevin Costner.
Mm-hmm.
Podcast. yeah, I love the idea. I mean, Kevin Costner has like an amazing array of films.
Ugh.
And he's in Superman. Angela replied, I've seen more Nick Cage movies than I can care to admit. I think our podcast would be me quoting Raising Arizona the whole time. Well, yeah, but you've seen all the Nick Cage movies. You can quote them all. You don't have to quote Raising Arizona. I think you guys should do it. And if you do it, we'll pimp it on the cast because that's what we do. We talk about other people's podcasts.
Mm-hmm. As long as you rate and review us on iTunes.
Absolutely. Joe Green says one. I assume he is talking about Neo. And I've been wanting to get into a conversation about The Matrix. Because I just saw it and it is a great movie. Oh, he's probably talking about Xbox One.
No, I don't think so.
Oh.
I think it's talking about World War One, baby.
Probably.
No, if the Austro-Hungarian Empire.
go away. Prospector Joe on podcasting. Mitch Netzer says, I was recently putting a conference on for work and found myself out to eat with 7 middle-aged women from my work. I need you guys to give me conversation starters that middle-aged women and geeks can both discuss so we don't end up talking about that cute waiter and CW shows all the time. I opted for sitting quietly and enjoying my free steak that time. Please help.
Mm.
Anything to talk to middle-aged women about?
Oprah, The Secret, Twilight.
Mm-hmm. Got it.
talk about the kids, I guess.
I mean,
it's weird. I would never, ever have this conversation
mm-hmm.
with basically anyone about their kids when I was a 20-something guy with no kids.
Right.
Because I would feel creepy.
Yeah. Well,
but parents, this is why they have their own age category,
uh-huh.
their own like social group.
Yeah.
They want nothing more than to talk about their kids. And if you need something specific,
right.
If you want a funny conversation, just ask like, hey, have your kids, if they have young kids, like, have they ever dropped the F-bomb? Because that will bring up stories. All kids have dropped the F-bomb, and there's always a funny story about when they did it, how they did it, how they reacted, how you reacted, you know.
That's awesome.
So there's always that card.
Yeah, I don't know. I like to give advice on, like, movies and stuff.
Because obviously.
As far as these ladies are concerned, you are their only conduit to cool.
That is true.
So
every parent is grasping at any sort of talking point.
Right.
To garner that information because it's just so hard to get.
So there you go, Mitch. Just be their conduit to cool.
Yeah.
And talk about when their kids said the F word.
Shouldn't be hard for Mitch. The coolest guy.
In school.
In the pool hall.
In the pool hall.
In the pool.
Pool shark.
In the pool.
Shark tank. Where, Adam Gumbel says, what are your opinions on messing around with beer by mixing or combining different beers or adding things? I've experimented with mixing different fruit beers in the past and had a couple days ago, I added a scoop of vanilla ice cream to a pint of nitro milk stout from Left Hand. I think I found my replacement for root beer. Yeah. What are your ideas on putting blends together, Jesse?
Blending's great. Yeah. I highly encourage it.
Yeah.
Also, the whole put ice cream in beer thing is great. It's good. It's tasty. And for some unknown reason, I'd love to get to the bottom of it. In Australia, it's called a spider.
Oh.
Yeah.
Probably because it has, like, we put the ice cream in and then, like, the beer walks up the sides so it looks like spider legs.
I think it's probably because in Australia there's so many horrible spiders. They needed to, you know, attach something great to the word so people don't just have a heart attack when they hear it.
Diffuse the situation a little bit.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And, you know, one of my favorite beers, Adam, is a half Arrogant Bastard Ale, half Rogue Dead Guy Ale, the Dead Bastard.
The Dead Bastard.
Good stuff. So, yeah, mix away, man. Do some blends. Mm-hmm. And then finally, friend of the show, Levi Jetty, says, last week I was talking about, you know, in the console wars, I'd probably just have to get whatever everybody else in our friend groups get so that we can all play games together. He says, let's just skip the next generation of consoles and pick up a tabletop miniatures game. I know Jesse votes 40K. I say either Warhammer Fantasy or War Machine. What's Eric's vote? My vote is what?
Yeah, you've never seen the glory. That's a real nerd there.
I've watched a couple of games that you guys have done, but the whole thing perplexes me to no end.
This is another level. This is like a brony level of nerd.
Can you explain the tabletop war game?
I mean, miniatures game. It warrants its whole podcast just to itself. It's a subculture among subcultures of people who are half artist, half strategist, and completely bored.
And have a disposable income.
And have a huge disposable income. You could get an army going for like 300, you know, 400, and just have this unpainted, unassembled things. But like, that's the whole fun, is putting it together, painting it, making it your own, going to the board game store, you know, that have these open tables for you to play with, setting up the scenery, learning all the rules, rolling the dice, and playing a game against someone you probably don't even like, and then losing and spending like 3-4 hours doing it, and then going home and feeling good about yourself. It's perplexing, and I am among that population. It's very masochistic.
I seem to remember, like, you went to some convention in Canada and you used to have all of your miniatures in gun cases.
No, you are confusing the regular of Discordia Games.
Okay.
He was a Mech Warrior guy.
Uh-huh.
And he went to a Mech Warrior competition in Canada, and he used gun cases to transport his Mech Warrior pieces to this competition.
Right.
And
because they're eggshell, they're egg carton basically on the inside, so you can basically just put your guys in the little egg spots.
Yeah, exactly. They don't move around, because if you have a Glock, you know, you don't want it shifting around while you're driving, you hit a speed bump and blow your head off.
Right.
So this guy was bragging that he went up to Canada with all these gun cases full of MechWarrior pieces, and that the customs agent opened one of them and saw that they were MechWarrior pieces when he explained it, and then just said, move along, which makes me very skeptical about border security.
Well, you know, you have to be very careful about which one you have them open.
Yeah, I know. Just the top one.
Dude, that border agent.
The rest of them were, you know, Glocks, AK-47s, hand grenades, RPGs, no big deal.
That's, I guarantee you that border crossing guard plays some kind of miniatures game. Otherwise, he wouldn't have let them through.
They'll be like, yeah, I'll be there too.
So what do you say, Jesse? Do you think we should get in the miniatures as a group?
Fuck yeah, definitely. 40K.
I can't do it.
No, you can't. You don't have what it takes.
I'd rather just spend that money on board games. It's like, no, I could get like,
yeah, that's good.
I could get like 10 board games for that, for the price of one army.
I'm not going to discourage you from buying board games.
Okay. I'm getting really excited about board games again. Well, that's our Facebook roundup this week. Thank you so much for talking to us through our Facebook threads. Guys, we love having the conversation with you, and this podcast is only good because you're a part of it. So please keep being a part of it and keep talking to us. We love it. I also just want to give a shout out to one person, Christy Johnson. Christy Johnson is somebody who likes like every single one of our Facebook posts, and she like shares all of our episodes and all this stuff. And she has never written to us, I don't think, and I don't think she's ever contacted us anyway, but she likes everything that we put on Facebook, and she's from North Dakota, and I want to just give a shout out to Christy Johnson.
Nice.
Thanks for spreading the word, Christy. We really appreciate it.
You're the new tree branch.
Right. From North Dakota.
What's that guy's name?
Who?
I already forgot.
Dion Branch?
Crabtree.
There you go.
Doesn't matter anymore. He's not playing.
Jesse, what's your first reco this week?
My first recommendation is a movie that my coworker basically forced me to watch. Uh-huh. It kind of holds up well. It's The Cable Guy.
Oh, yeah. I own that movie.
Yeah. Not bad.
It's a cult
actually,
hit.
For a 90s movie.
Oh, it's a cult hit.
Jim Carrey's quite good.
You know who directed that movie?
Ben Stiller.
Yes, Ben Stiller. Interesting stuff.
He has a major like side story.
Yeah. My first recommendation this week is going to be what is it? Oh, it's Poker Night 2. This is a game that's been done by Telltale Games.
Is that good?
I enjoy it just for the flavor. I mean, it's just a poker game, and I enjoy playing Texas Hold'em, but you're playing against Brock Sampson, Claptrap from Borderlands, Ash from Evil Dead, and Sam from Sam and Max, which are four characters that I love. And then GLaDOS from Portal is the dealer. And they have all the original voice actors. It sounds awesome. It's a real, and they do like table talk. So they're like, have like conversations, and there are storylines that go along as you keep playing the game.
Right.
But it's just all playing poker.
And I want to play that just for Brock Sampson.
Dude, it's fun. And I just got it. It just came out for iOS, so I have it on my iPhone. And I can play it on the bus. It's pretty fun stuff. What's your secco?
My secco is a beer that you were drinking last week that I just drank today, Twilight Summer Ale.
Yes.
Fucking awesome.
Yeah, good stuff. That's actually
A+.
That's my secco this week, is just Deschutes beers in general. They are hitting it out of the park. Now, you can get Twilight Summer Ale, you can get Red Chair Northwest Pale Ale, and you can pick up this Deschutes River Ale, which is also just a great beer. God, Bend, Oregon, man. We should make a pilgrimage.
I'm going there for my honeymoon.
Oh, really?
It's already booked.
Dude, that's awesome.
I'm so excited. I'm spending one night in Portland, then two nights in Bend.
Yeah, they have one brewery for every 9,000 people in that town.
Yeah, that's awesome. I don't know what my wife is going to do that weekend. But.
Excellent. Well, listener, thank you so much for being a part of the show. Once again, we want to remind you, please keep in touch with us. Get off our backs. And until next time, wherever you go.
Whatever you do.
Please stay
arrogant. Get off my back.